Today's daf is daf tzadiches. So we got to around two lines from the top, right? Gemara is telling a maisa. Who is Issa? There's once a woman, the tafsa kasa de kasba. She took hold of, I'm not sure, kisa de kasba, kasa de kasba, either a kosa, a silver kosa, or silver chair, most likely a silver kosa. She grabbed a silver kosa. Biksuvasa, to collect her ksuba. Katava mizone. Then she went ahead and was being tovea her mizonos from the yisomim. So Rashi explains the second line down. The tafsa kasa de kaspa v'lo haya bo shir ksuvasa. Her ksuva was, let's say, worth $200, and she grabbed a becher that was worth $100, so she didn't get the full amount. So then she wanted to go ahead and collect the full mizonos. So what's the halacha? So asa l'kame de Rava, she or they went in front of Rava. Amar l'hu, Rava says to them, liasme to the yisomim zilu, go havu le mizonos, give her mizonos. Less the chashla the Rabbi Shimon. We're not concerned with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. The Amar lo amrina miktas kesef kichol kesef. You saw that machlokas at the end of yesterday's daf, where the miktas kesef is kichol kesef. That if we say she collects part of the kesef, part of the ksuba, it's as if she collected the entire ksuba, in which case she would not be able to collect mizonos anymore. Or we don't say that miktas kesef is only miktas kesef, but she still has other parts of ksuba to collect, whereby she would be allowed to collect from the mizonos. And then that's how Rava Paskin. So then the Gemara continues to say, Shalach le Rabba Bre de Rava le Rav Yosef. Sounds like a different topic now. So they sent the following Shalach to Rav Yosef. Mocheres shelo bebezdin tzricha shvur ein tzricha shvur. If a woman sells her the property, she hadn't received her mizonos, and the Yisomim aren't giving it to her, so she sells one of the properties of the estate. And she sells it outside of Bezdin. Does she have to take a shvur or not take a shvur? So Rashi explains, which shvur is she referring to here? Says the Rashi two lines down, Tzricha Shvua Shlo Gavsa Yoser, that she did not collect more than she has to. So remember, there are two Shvuas, that really is always one Shvua, and the question is there a second Shvua that she may have to take here? The first Shvua she always has to take when she collects from the Yisomim, to make a Shvua that she has not yet collected her Ksuba at all. That's number one, where she always has to, when collecting the Ksuba from the Yisomim, she has to take such a Shvua she never received it. A second shvua, the Gemara is suggesting, maybe when she sells the property, she has to take it a second shvua that she did not sell for more than her old ksuba. That's the other shvua, perhaps, which should be taken. So the Gemara says, before you ask the question of whether she has to take a shvua that she didn't collect more than she had to from the sale, let's ask, v'tibay lach hachraza. Maybe this should be hachraza. So what hachraza are we referring to here? So it used to be that when they would sell the property of a Yisomim, they would have to assess the value, but there would be 30 days of auction. They would want to auction it off, so they'd make an announcement for 30 days, and whoever gave the highest price to get the best value for their property, they'd make such an announcement. To ask the following Shiloh, what should really happen is that the Almana should have to do Hachraza. I'm selling this property of the Yisomim because I need to collect my Ksuva. Let's have an Hachraza for 30 days. As I have an auction, the highest price, the highest bid wins. So why not have a Hachraza before even asking about the Shvua? So I'm alay Hachraza lo kumi baile. That was never a Shiloh. We never had the Havamina to think that there's going to be a Hachraza. Why? The Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Nachman, Almana, Sheshama la'atma lo asav lo klum. So if an almana were to assess the value of the property on her own, it's not effective. So look at Rashi, three lines from the top. Sheshama la'atma, if the wife, the almana, assessed the value of the property on her own, lakha sada ha'yisomim, she took one of the properties of the yisomim, la'atma, for herself. Bishumas ksubasa, she just took it to collect her ksuba. She says, my ksuba is $200, this property looks like it might be $200, I'm going to just confiscate this property. So if she does that, that's going to be ineffective. Rashi says, lo asav lo klum, it doesn't work. If after time the Yisomim want to take back the money after some time, then they're allowed to go ahead and take it from her. Meaning if she assesses the value on her own, it's not effective. So what does that have to do with Hachraza? So the Gemara says, continues to explain, Hey Chidami, what's this case where an Almana goes ahead and confiscates the property to collect the Ksuba on her own? What's the example? Ida Achraz. If she made an announcement, am I lost of a klum? Why is it not good? If she announced and made this whole auction, and this is what turned out to be, I guess she sold it. So she made the announcement, and the highest bid came in. So that's the market value of a property, like an assessment, is always what it's sold for. If a person's looking for a tax grievance, so they try to figure out what the market value is. But if the house was just recently bought, so the market value is what the house was bought at. So if it was, she made an announcement, and for 30 days, and people came, and she took the highest bid, that was the market value. So it was a good assessment. Why does the Mishnah say? Why does the Gemara say it wasn't a good assessment? Elalav, it must be delo achris. She did not make an announcement. Ula atma hu delo asa loklum hola acher masha asa asa. So it was a case where there was no announcement, yet it's not good only when she takes la atma. She confiscates the property for herself. But if she did not make an announcement, but sold it to somebody else and got that value of the property to collect their ksuva, then that would be a good collection. So again, what happens is this woman needs the money for the ksuva. And the Yisoma are not paying her. So this land is going to be her place of payment. So that land either could be confiscated by her to keep for herself, and that's going to be her payment in karka, or she could take the property and sell it to somebody else, and that money she gets in return will be the collection for the ksuba. So if she makes an announcement, and she gives the highest bid, let's say, the bid goes the highest at whatever the price is, and she decides to take it for herself, so then that becomes the price. If there is no announcement, but yet the bride says there's no announcement, she just takes it for herself, maybe she took more than she should have taken. But if she doesn't make an announcement, sells it to somebody else, the implication is, then that will be considered the market value. If somebody's willing to pay $200 for this property, that's the market value. Even though there's no official auction, that is the market value of the property, and it would be a good collection.
So only if she takes it to herself, last takloot.
Exactly. So what we see from all of this is that it must be a situation where there was no announcement. So when the Almana takes the property, there is no need for an announcement.
No announcement in the sale.
No announcement. There's no requirement for it. If she wants to do an announcement, she certainly can. But if she doesn't want to do one and just sells it to whoever wants to buy it, that's going to be effective as well.
So it's effective.
No, it's effective, but it wasn't a shaila. I mean, the Gemara had asked before, when a woman takes this property and sells a land from the Yisomim to collect her ksuba, the Gemara asked, does she have to take a shvua that the property wasn't worth more than she was supposed to be collecting? The Gemara said, before asking that shaila, does she take such a shvua, maybe you should ask, does she have to do a hachraza? Does she have to make this auction? And the Gemara said, that wasn't a shaila, she doesn't need to, because it's going to be effective even without the hachraza. As long as she sells it to somebody other than herself, she sells it to somebody else, there's no need for hachraza. She can do an hachraza, but you don't need to do a hachraza. So the only question was by a shvua. But then the Gemara says, not true. The olam, really you could say the case here is, da'achras, no, there was a hachraza, there was an auction, and you need to do an auction. U'da'amra la man shmalach, mashmalach, and that which we said to her, who assessed it for you, so you see Rashi, Miman Shamlach, Shamlach, two lines down, two narrow lines down. Mimi Kablas Mechirazu, Lomi Bezin Lomi Somim. If she collects it on her own, the Gemara says, well, whoever gave it to you, you can't just take this, confiscate the land. You didn't sell it to anybody. Basin didn't assess the value. Who are you to say that the value of this land is worth that amount that you're collecting this for the Ksuba? So to that Shaila, and Fichach, Rashi continues, Fichach lo yata karka mirishus ha'isomim. And therefore, since you just acted completely on your own, it never left the property, it never left the rishus of the isomim. Aval heicha deshamis lachrina. But if you did assess it for somebody else, to sell to somebody else, nafik mirishus ha'yorshin, it does leave the rishus of the yorshin. Sharei nasa lachachamim rishus limchor. Because the chamim gave her the ability to sell to somebody else. To sell to somebody else, that's okay. But to take it for herself, that was never given to Rishus to her. So what's going on here? So he said, really, so again, Li'olam, the Gemara said, Li'olam, da'achras, really, she made an announcement, the Da'amri law, that which we say to her, Man Shamlach, who gave it to you, who let you assess the value of the property? Ki hai dehahu gavra, like that case of that person, dafgidu gave kisisa diasme, they took over as a mashkon, a, what's a kisisa here, a kosos or a chair? What's that?
Coral wood.
Coral wood, okay. So he took coral,
C-O-R-A-L.
Okay. Okay, coral, okay. Interesting. So coral reef, coral wood. So he took coral wood, the Yasmi of the Yisomim, and Azel Shama Lenafshe, Ba'arba Mea Zuze. And he on his own, seems like, he assessed the value of this coral wood at 400 Zuz. Okay. Ayakar kam b'shismea. After time, it appreciated in value and went to 600 zuz. So us the kam b'di Rabbi Ami and Amarle man shamlach. Who gave you permission to buy this for yourself? So what do we see from all this? That a person is not allowed to assess the value on his own, because obviously he's no gebe davar. He's going to have a biased approach. He's going to think it's worth, you know, maybe less than what it really was. She says, oh, this value, this property is only $200, but in the end it could be really $600. So that's why we don't let them assess on her own. But in a chanami, there is needed, one would perhaps require a hachraza. So the Gemara seemed to avoid the initial question about a shua. It's somewhat confusing. So Gemara never addressed the Shavuot question. And in terms of the Hachraza, what's the Gemara concluding about Hachraza? That one needs a Hachraza, one doesn't need a Hachraza. It sounds like one needs a Hachraza, right? Well, that's the final. Oh, here we go. Hilchasa tzuicha Shavuot v'eina tzuicha Hachraza. The Pesach Halacha is that she has to take a Shavuot. When she sells a property, she must take a Shavuot that when she sells it, she's not taking more then she's owed in the Ksuba. And number two is that there is no requirement for a Hachraza. When she sells it, she does not need to make that whole 30-day auction period.
When it says the Halakha, this is the Halakha.
Yes.
And when the says the Halakha, this is it. There's no, like...
I'm trying, off the top of my head, I'm wondering if there are any examples that's not like that. But I can't think of any, but certainly the Pasha says Hilchasa is that way. There's an interesting case that the Gemara by Chati Nezek says, Machokas or Papa and Abaye, I think it is, Chati Nezek, when a person damages, you don't pay for the first offense, you only pay half the amount of damage. So the Gemara wants to know if it's Knas or it's Mamon, what the nature of that payment is. And the Gemara says it's Rapa, there's a Kash, there's a Tiyuf to the Rapapa. We knock out Rapapa, Rapapa's wrong. And the Gemara says, Hilchasak Rapapa. The Gemara says, Anderson, Tiyuf to the Rapapa, Hilchasak Rapapa, and the Gemara gives an answer. But even though sometimes there's even the Svar is rejected, when the Halacha is Hilchasa, it's the final Halacha. Okay, the Mishnah now says, Almana Shahisa Ksuvasa Masayim. So in Almana had a Ksuva that was worth 200. Umachra, and she sold it, Shavimana Bimasayim. O Shava Masayim Bimana. So what's the case? Rashi, Shava Masayim Bimana Niskaba Ksuvasa Damrinan La'at Asadas. You lost on your own. So what's she selling?
Property.
She's selling property. She's selling a property of 100 for 200 or 200 for 100?
Same. Both. Or one or the other.
One or the other, right. So either she makes a profit, she sells a cheaper property for 200, or she makes a, takes a loss, and it's even though the property is worth 200, she sells it for only 100. Niskabla ksubasa, that's considered her ksuba, because either the value of the property was 200, even though she only received 100, or in the end of the day, she received the 200. Okay.
They need to be real estate agents.
Hayisa ksubasa mana, let's say her ksuba was 100. Uma chashava mana, the dinar, she sells a property for 100 plus a dinar. So then, wait, shavamana vidinar, bimana, macher bata. She sells a property worth 100 and a dinar, that's the value of the property, for only a mana, then that sale will be bata. Rashi explains why. Macher bata, she also dinar, ein lavashish limchor. Nimsa shekol ha mechar, tal sharei babas achas haisa, haya. So what's the difference from the first case? First case we said if she sells 200 for 100, that's good. Here we're saying if she sells 100 plus a dinar for only 100, that's no good. So why is it, if the issue of...
Because she loyta betula b'shat sheniset, v'lachen zchut tuvata rak me'azuz. The zchus is only me'a.
Okay, the first case is, the zchus, she had 200, she had the full rights to sell the 200 property. She happened to take a loss for it. Here, she did not have the right to sell that extra dinar. Okay. Yeah, we're with me. That's good. Then the Gemara says, "Afilu hi ameres achzir dinar liyorshin machabata." Even she says, "Okay, fine. Let this sale go through, and that extra dinar that property that I sold away, let me pay back the yisomim of dinar." Even then, says the Tanakhama, that mechir will be bato. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer liyol machakayim. It's good. It's a good sale. Ach sham kidei shetishayer basode bas tishim kabin. Ubegina bas chatzikav. Uchter bikiva beis roveah. So what's going on here? So no, even if she does sell that extra dinar, it's going to be a good sale until she leaves over in the property that amounts in a sud, in a field, nine kabin, in a gina, in a garden, a half a kav, ukta b'kiva, and a beis roveya. Beis roveya is part of that statement, I guess. Right, so let's see Rashi's here. So Rashi says, Liola macha kayim shvihi tachser esa dinar liyarshin demahfsi dasan. So yes, it's a good sale, but she just has to return that dinar, that property of dinar, which she didn't have rights on. She had to return that, either the property or the money, back to the Yisomim. Ad sheyehei v'ona. This time about issues of ona. Ona is overpricing or underpricing.
This week's parasha.
Yeah, exactly. Ad sheyehei v'ona. Kidei she'ilu lo ha'isa ho'na ha'yaha mishayar besadeh bas tishikabin ho'na atma tishikabin. Has to be let's read a little further in Rashi. V'huadin im nishar liyisomim masham levad ha'ona teskabim. V'chem liyesh liyisomim karka sham kishir sadeh yomula ein ritzoneinu limkor karka roilanu. Aval im ein ho'na ru'u le'itzarif k'lechdesh sadeh lo he'shidasan klum. So what's going on here? Actually, let's connect him to Ona here. The simple pshat here of the Mishnah is that she could sell as much as she wants as long as they leave over a sadeh. What's a sadeh? Sadeh is defined as bas tishakabin. Or if she's selling a gina, she has to leave over at least a gina. Let's say there's a large field, so acres and acres and acres, she sells all the acres. As long as there's 1 acre, for example, left over, which is called a sadeh, to the Yisomim, that's good enough. And the same thing with a gina. And Rabbi Kiva just argues the size of the gina is actually a beis rova.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what Rashi is saying with the ona here. I think I see. I think Rashi referring to the ona. The ona is what she sells. Like she sells more property. She's getting less than the value of the property. The property is 100 plus a dinar. She's only receiving 100. So that's already ona. There's a difference in price and what's being the value.
But before that, we said it's good. If she find, you know, a sucker to sell it more.
Right. No, so you're right, but there could still be issues of ona. Now, at this point, we're not taking into account ain ona but karkal, so it's another topic. When it comes to real estate, there's no ona. People could charge whatever. As whatever person pays for, that becomes the market value. So, but I think that's Rashi referring to. Ona is referring to the difference of price. So, let's look at Rashi one more time. Rashi is atshihei. Atshihei b'ona, I imagine the difference in price. Kidei she'ilu lo ha'isa ona haya mishtayar besadeh bas tishakabim. If there was an ona, there would remain a field of tishakabin. Ohona asma tishakabin, or the difference itself is going to be 9 kabin. Huadin im nishal yisomim sham levad ona teskabin, or if it remains yisomim 9 kabin. Dechem yesh yisomim karka sham kishir sada yomula ain return alim kor karka roi lanu. Okay, I'm not entirely sure to be honest. Okay, let's keep going without the Rashi for now. But again, she's allowed to sell the property as long as it remains in the land, the property, there remains a sada or gina in the hands of the Yisomim. Adam, you're quiet. I need some of your help today.
That's
coming. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Now put your head down. You feel free to go home and get some rest. Want water?
Advil, but it's not helping.
So why don't you go home? Seriously,
Watch
them out. Don't feel bad for her. Okay. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Haisa ksuvasa arba meo zuz. If she's owed in the ksuba 400 zuz, umachra leze bimana, and she sells the ksuba to one person for 100, uleze bimana, another person for 100, ulachron yafimana vidinar, And the last person, how is she sung? She sung different parts of it, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so she has a ksuba of 400 zuz. So she sells one part of the land for 100. So she gets 100 of what she sold, and then she sells another land for another 100. And then she sells a third one for 100. And this last one, even though Mishnah doesn't say the third one, the Mefarshim say it's referring to, there's a third one that's sold. The last 100 that of the karka, which is worth a mana and dinar, she sells for a mana. Okay, so that very case. She sold an extra piece of dinar land for only 100. Shel achron batel, v'shel kulan machen kain. Only the last one is batel, because only the last one included that extra dinar, that extra piece of land. But the previous sales of the 100 for 100, the even sale, those are still kain. We don't consider this all as one large sale of the entire ksuba. Each sale, each part of the property is viewed independently, and therefore those initial sales were good. It's only the last one that included the extra dinar would be ona, and therefore batel the mechach. Okay, the Gemara says now, the bottom of Tzadi Chesem and Aleph, Maishna shavim masayim b'mana, damri le'at afsad shavim mana, b'masayim nami, tema ana avachna. So why did we say, when she sold the property of 200 for only 100, we say, oh, too bad, you're lost, you sold it, you're lost. And when it comes to a shavim mana, when she sells a property of 100 for 200, we should also say, you gained. Meaning she should only be viewed as collecting 100. She should have the ability to sell another property for another 100. Why do we say she gained an extra 100? Why does she say the ksuba was done there? There was a land of $200 of land that she could have sold. She only sold 100, so she made a profit. Let her sell the other $100 land for whatever other price she could get for. So Amar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avuha, going on to Amar Beis now, Kan Shana Rebbe, this is what Rebbe taught, Hakol lebal hamaus. Everything goes to the owner of the money, literally. Kidetanya, we'll see what that means in a moment. As the Braisa teaches us, Hosifu lo achas yisera, Hakol shliach divrei Rabbi Yehuda. If he adds on an extra amount of money, it all goes to the shliach, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi omer chalkin. We divide it. What's going on here? So look at Rashi. Rashi says the top line, Hakol lebal hamaus, hashaleach shlucha l'shuk l'schora. This person sends off a messenger to the shuk to go sell some water restrictors, let's say. Lokach bazul hakol lebal hamos. So let's say he buys it very cheaply. Everything goes to the owner of the money. Who's buying what cheaply here?
Shliach bought the merchant that's cheap. Everything belonged to the balbait.
Wait a
minute. The one with the money.
Wait a second. The shliach was sent to buy merchandise or to sell merchandise? He says, L'schora. Probably to buy merchandise.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, fine. So go buy some merchandise, and he buys for a pretty low price. So, Hakol lebal hamos, v'lo matzi, l'meimra ana arvachya. So who's the bal hamos? The one who sent him off. The mishalech, who had the money. Here's $100. Go buy me $100 worth. Buy me, I don't know, 100 widgets. So he comes back, and he gets 200 widgets. So you get he buys 100 widgets for $50, let's say. I got a good price. Let me, as a shliach, let me keep those $50, because I had a good deal here. All that savings is going to go back to the mishalech. Kitatani, Rashi continues, as the Braisa teaches us, Dika Plugsa the Tanai Baha Milsa, it's machlokas regarding this discussion. Umaskana, and the conclusion is, says Rashi, Shmeinan de Bedavar Shein lo Kitzva, Isle of Yosi Akol Baal Mals. Whenever there's no set value, there's no set market value, so everything goes to Baal Mals, whatever profits are being gained or whatever savings are being made, that goes to the Mishalech. V'sosam la Rebbe v'masisin. Rebbe had closed off, our Misha had taught it only like one of them, d'acha, k'Rebbe Yossi, that it all goes back to the Baal Hamos. The masisin nami davar shein lo kitzva. The property also has no set value to the property. The chol karka nimkar be'omed zeb pachos be'yoki. Each land is going to be sold at different levels. There's no market value to property. So here too also, when she sells the land, so even though at one point it was understood to be $200, whatever she sells it at, that makes the land is now a $200 property. So it goes back to the Baal Hamos, which refers to the estate, to the husband, who now has passed away, but the husband's responsibility, he gets to keep the profits, and he's off the hook. Right, but the fact that Rebbe presented only one opinion, he's following like Rebbe Yehuda, who says... No, Rabbi Yossi it says.
Rabbi Yossi said the opposite.
The Gemara is going to change it, I think, maybe. Right, Rabbi Yehuda says, Akol lebal hamos. Oh, I'm sorry. We didn't get to the end yet. Sorry.
We didn't finish it.
Rabbi Yehuda thinks the shliach has to keep it. Rabbi Yossi says you divide it. And then the Gemara says, wait a second. Rabbi Yossi really says you divide it? Three lines from the top, the last word. V'hatanya, the bride says, Rabbi Yossi, Omer HaKol, the Baal HaMos. No, it all goes to the Baal HaMos. You don't divide it. And the Gemara says, no, the difference is, Amar Remi Bar Chama, lo kasha, kam bedavar sheyesh lo kitzva, kam bedavar sheyesh lo kitzva. When the davar sheyesh lo kitzva, when there's set value, then you split evenly between the shliach and the shliach.
Think that there's no set value to us?
Yeah, karka, we just said property. There's no set value to property.
Why? There's no price for
karka. That, therefore, there's no kitzva. It always change. There's no saving. Whatever is being sold, that's the value. As opposed to selling a diamond. Diamond has a market value, so you sell up or down, so then that's the profit will be divided amongst the shliach. The shliach made a good deal. The diamond really cost $10,000. I liked the guy, I spoke to him, I wore him down, and I got for $8,000. So the $2,000 savings, he and I will split it, because it was my personal thing. But even though the value was $10,000, I was able to bring him down.
Something you can say about karka.
But karka...
the value of $100...
But there is no set value. There's no price. You can't go to the market and see land is worth this amount of money. It's always fluctuating, and whatever it's being bought for, it's not a commodity where it's a set value across the bridge, across the way. Yeah. It's just whatever it's bought at is the market value. So we see from all this, though, when it comes to davar shein lo kitzva, something that has no set value, such as a property, such as land. So Rabbi Yossi thinks it all goes to the Baal HaMos. Here too also, since she sold what was once a $100 property, it's being sold for $200, that's the set value, and she can't say, I'm making a profit, let me keep the $200 and sell another piece of land. All those savings goes back to the Baal HaMos, to the Yishomim, who are considered the Baal HaMos in this case. Now Rashi just gives some examples, by the way, of things are davar sheyesh lo kitzva versus davar shein lo kitzva. If you look at Rashi around eight narrow lines down, davar sheyesh lo kitzva could go in kitnis hanimcha b'chanus b'mida male kli b'pruta. A basket of kitnios or beans or something like that that's being sold in a size, let's say, one cup of kitnios. Im hosifu achas yisera el cholkim. If the guy makes a profit, or he either adds one extra kitnis in there or a difference in the value, so then the shliach and the mshliach are going to divide that profit. The matanahu, it was a present that the mocher had given over to them. Yeshlomer the shliach nasa. Some say he liked the guy who went to buy it. They purchased it. I like the shliach. He's a very nice guy. The yeshlomer the baal hamos nasa. No, he liked the guy who sent him off. The mshliach, he really liked him. So since you don't really know who the mocher was giving the present to, they get to split the present. But davar shein lo kitzva, continues Rashi, could go in talis v'chalak v'yerek in nimkam b'omer. So this is interesting. What's considered davar shein lo kitzva? A suit, a shirt, a vegetable that are sold based on a be'omed, pamim muvasir limkor bezul, pamim bitzimtum. Sometimes it's being sold very cheaply, sometimes it's being sold very exactly. Hakol le'bal hamal she'en kan matana el mecher. It's not being sold as a present or not a present. There's no set market value. It's whatever the mood the guy's in, whatever the value that day is. So any profit goes to the Baal HaMos. Okay. I find that pretty interesting that a talis is a sign that's considered davar shein lo kitzva.
You're absolutely right. Who sent, what's the price?
Right. So what's a good klal for what's... Does it say what's a davar kitzva? Is there like a good klal?
You go to...
No, it seems to me like it's something that if it's sold by the pound or by the...
By the weight or...
The inch.
Uh-huh.
You go to the store and it says the beans, $2 a pound, $3 a pound. Wood, this piece of wood, $4 an inch or a foot. But I guess karka, they don't say it's $8 a square foot.
But let's say you go to a suit store and the suit store is selling the suit for $450 suit. And that's the price. It says the price on it. And you get the guy to come down to $350.
Yeah, but some of this still sells for $1,000.
Yeah, but it's the whole suit. That's right. So you might say the top, but it's the whole suit is $450. It's not... But if you want the sleeve, it's not the fabric would be
I see.
Set price
by a square inch, I guess.
So when you buy the thing per inch or per weight per pound, so when he gives you a better price, he's not saying everything's cheaper now. Yeah. It's not per pound is now $2 instead of $3. It's just it's still $3, but I'm giving you a matana.
There's no list price.
Okay, I understand.
Whereas because the suit. It's not just the fabric. It's the, so what is it? How is it made? How is it finished? Same thing with the land. This land has a swamp, and this land is better. So you can't say by the square yard, by the square foot of land, that's how much it is.
Okay, that makes sense.
I guess this has some intrinsic value that you add or subtract based on the subjective issues.
Okay.
I guess a lima bean is a lima bean.
Right. Okay, fine. So the Gemara now says, you right there?
It's okay. We'll be okay. We're watching him over.
Okay. Says the Gemara. Ibailu. I know where we are. Ibailu? No. Amar Rapapa. Rapapa says, Hilchza, the final sakalacha, davar sheish lo kitzva, chulkin, davar shein lo kitzva, hakol le bal malos, like we just said. That's how we paskin. My kamashlon, what's the chiddush here? Shinuya de shanin and shinuyahu. We just said that before. That's what Rami Bracham is. Why say, repeat the same line in Hilchza? Coming to tell us that was a good answer. We like the answer, Rami Rechama. The difference is davar sheish lo kitzva versus davar sheein lo kitzva, and that's how we paskin.
And when it says Rav Papa Ilchata, meaning whoever says that's halacha again, always.
When we say Hilchasa, Rav Papa happens to be the author of this Hilchasa, but whenever the Gemara says Hilchasa, that's how
we say any Rav says Ilchata.
Yeah, and in the previous page we saw Hilchasa, it didn't even say any Rav, it just the Gemara itself stated it. Okay, the Gemara asks now, Ibailuhu. Amarle, he says to him, Zavinli Lischa, V'azel V'zavinli Kura. So he says to the Mocher, sell to me a Lischa. Lischa is a certain, or rather to a Shliach, Rashi says. Amarle, Zavinli Lischa, Amar Lishlucha. He says to a Shliach, Mocher Mesodosai, Beis Chatzi Kur. Sell for my land. He says to the real estate agent, sell for my field, my cornfield, a certain amount of Beis Chatzi Kur, which I guess is a lischa, is a chatikur. And he goes ahead and sells a kor, double the amount when he asks him to sell. So, my mosif, al dvarvu, v'lischa mi akane, odim amavir al dvarvu, v'lischa nami lakane. The fact that the real estate agent was so greedy and he wanted to sell more, make more money, so do we say that maybe the extra lischa he sold wasn't good, but the first lischa he sold was a good sale? Or the entire sale is no good because he went against the words of the mishalech, of the mocher. So Amar Rav Yaakov minar pakud mishmei de Ravina. So Rav Yaakov had a following raya. Toshma, Amar Bal Habayis, the Bal Habayis says, Lishlucho says to his agent, Tein lahen chaticha l'orchen, go give to my guests a piece of meat, let's say. So Vahu Omer talu shnaim, and he says, the shliach now says to the each one, take two. V'hei nalu shalosh, and then they end up taking three. So, and it turns out, Rashi adds, it turns out it was hektesh meat. So, hektesh is a violation. It was a me'ila. They didn't realize. So, the violation of me'ila, and Issa derives of me'ila, if you get hana from hektesh. Kulan malu, all then violate to the Issa of me'ila. Why? Says Rashi. Rashi goes through each of them. Rashi kulan malu bal habayis maal. The reason why the bal habayis maal shachas haisa midaita. One of them he willingly gave, so that was his part in it. Hashliach maal b'shniya. The shliach, he changed the words. He added because he violated mila. Ve'orchan b'shlish because they took a third one on their own. So everybody, the fact they added another part of the hekdesh is going to be violation of mila. So, Iamris Bishma, if you say it's good, most of Advarav Haya Have Shimhachi Bal Bais Mal. If we had the question before that, he's not Mavir Advarav, he's being most of Advarav. When the Shliach goes against, he adds on to what the Mishlech sent him to do. He said two pieces of meat. He's not going against the Shliach, the Mishlech, he's just adding on to it. Because if he's going against the Mishlech, then there'd be no Shlichus here at all. Now, there's a concept, by the way, Ein Shliach L'Dvarvei, the Gemara talks about. So if I point David to go give Hektish meat, and he goes to eat Hektish meat, so why am I Chayev? He's the Dvarvei, Ein Shliach L'Dvarvei. If I send him to do something else to marry a woman for me, that's Shlichus. Shlichus works for something positive. But something negative, Ein Shliach L'Dvarvei, and he's the one who actually violates the Mila, not me. And the Gemara has a Gzer Shekasev. There are three examples, three exceptions, that we apply Yesh Shliach L'Dvarvei. One of them is Me'ila, that there is Shlichus, even though I send you off, the Shliach is going to carry through and make me responsible for the Mila. So I sent him off, and he gave Hekdesh to them. There's Mila there. He added on to it, said a second one. He wasn't, when you add on, it's not Mavir Advarv. It's not going against my words, and it's no longer Shlichus, the fact that he went against me. It's being most Advarv. So the initial Shlichus of the first Chaticha exists. He's just adding on to it. So too the previous case, when he sold the two properties for me, the first property was a good sale. The fact that he sold the second property, that's being most of the dvar, that wasn't a good sale. But we're not going to say the entire sale is null and void. So this is the raya. So again, iamis, if you're going to say that is mavir dvarav, sorry, rather, iamis bishma most of dvarav, that he's adding on to my words, but the initial shichas is still good, it's only the added part is no good, then havi mishim hachi baal bayis mal. That's why the baal bayis, me, I violate me'ila, because our shlichas is still there, even though he added on, but the initial shlichas is still there, I'm responsible. Ela iamis mavir dvarav havi, but if you say that the shliach, since he added on, he went against my entire shlichas, the entire shlichas batel, baal bayis my mal. Why am I responsible? He went off working on his own. I'm no longer connected to him because he went against my words. Vatan, the Mishnah says, Hashliach she'asa shlichuso baal bayis mal, lo asa shlichuso shliach mal. If I send off a shliach and the agent did carry out the mission properly, then I'm responsible as a baal bayis. But if he went against my word, did something different than I asked him to do, I am now divorced from the shlichus, and he's the one that's responsible. It's the shliach that's mal. So here too also, if you say that when he adds on to the words, he's being mavir al dvarav, he ends the shlichus, then the baal bayis shouldn't be responsible. I sent him to give one piece of meat, he gave two pieces of meat, he's no longer mine. I'm not responsible. Since the baal bayis, we're saying the baal bayis is responsible here, we must view the shlich as being most of al dvarav, not mavir al dvarav. So Gemara says, no. You can't bring a raya from here that we paskin, it's most of al dvarav. Because Hachab Ma'askinim, what are we dealing with over here? A special situation. Dharma Luhu, he says to them, Tala achas midaito shel baal bayis, v'achas midaiti v'shaklu inu tlas. It's where the shliach said on his own, the baal bayis wanted you just to have one of the pieces of meat. I'm a nice guy, don't tell him, I'm going to have you take two pieces of meat. So they knew from the start that he wasn't adding on to the words. He was really acting on his own when he said the second chaticha. So he still was maintaining the first shlichus as one chaticha. That's why he never broke it up. But Eina Chanami, perhaps, if he said, the baal bayis said two, and he went against the words, it would be considered mavir dvarav, and it wouldn't go back to the responsibility of the baal bayis. So there, therefore, is no raya from this braisa. Let's see this next price we should continue to do, right? It goes into the next page. Plenty of time anyways. Actually, we don't have that much time. Let's see. Should we start off and see how we go?
I would stop.
You would stop?
Yes.
It was about 12 lines.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll stop here. A few minutes, this way David can get his achanos and kavanos. Okay. Should we ask Adam can get some rest? I apologize, Adam, you're not feeling too good.
Watch them out.